Good morning, everyone. Thank you very much for attending Eneva's earnings call to talk about the first quarter of 2025. Moving to slide number four, I'm going to start with the main highlights of the period. We started 2025 with another quarter of solid results. For the second quarter in a row, the company's EBITDA reached record levels, reaching the mark of 1,528,000,000 BRL, an increase of 40% compared to the first quarter of 2024. This result is a direct consequence of the successful implementation of some of the initiatives of our strategy. We are pioneers in Brazil in the production and distribution of LNG by road, and in this first quarter, our plant in the Parnaíba complex reached full capacity, thereby significantly contributing for the company's EBITDA. In expansion of generation capacity, Parnaíba 6 started commercial operations, now part of our fixed revenue base. On the commercial front, we are delivering the first significant result of the gas business, while inorganic and financial growth initiatives, we are reporting the first full contribution of the results of the assets purchased in the fourth quarter of 2024. The fixed margin of the regulated contracts in force for these assets added 440 million to our quarterly EBITDA. We ended the first quarter with a net debt of 2.6 times, a reduction of 1.6 times compared to the first quarter of 2024, thus opening space in our balance sheet to start another growth cycle. Considering the competitive advantages of Eneva's portfolio and the opportunities that present in our target markets. As a subsequent event in the quarter, on Tuesday, May the 13th, MSCI announced the revisions to its indexes and changes in its composition, effective as of June the 2nd. We are very pleased to receive the news of our return to this indicator, and this is the only addition to the MSCI Brazil Index. On the on-grid gas segment, with Sergipe Hub already connected to transportation network and stabilized connection with the FSRU, we expanded our operations in gas and our customer base in Brazil. Together, they total a contribution of 163 million BRL to the quarter's EBITDA. In the off-grid gas marketing, the second train of Parnaíba LNG production started operating mid-February. The segment contributed to the quarter's EBITDA, and even though the plant only operated half of the period. We advanced in this business line with the approval of the investment to expand the LNG plant in Parnaíba that will have its capacity expanded to liquefy up to 900,000 cubic meters of natural gas. The commercial operation of Parnaíba 6 began in March, completing the cycle of the last gas turbine in Parnaíba, thereby making the complex more efficient and a fixed revenue stream of more than 100 million BRL for 25 years. On the financial front, we ended the first quarter with reinforced liquidity, a cash balance above 4.7 billion BRL, positively impacted by the strong operating performance, which provided cash generation of 900 million BRL and by funding in a period. We also completed the merger of the subsidiaries Linhares Viana and Povoação in the holding in January. This initiative simplifies the group's corporate structure and allows it to capture relevant financial synergies that will reinforce value generation of this transaction. In addition, we approved the buyback program, maximizing value generation for our shareholders with efficient management in the company's capital allocation. In the period, we repurchased 20.6 million shares at an average price of 10.74 BRL, which is below average price per share in recent months and even lower if we compare to the level of the last 2 weeks, in which the company's share traded around 14 BRL. Finally, I would like to highlight that despite the growth and reaching record levels in terms of results, we do not give up our financial discipline. Compared to the first quarter of 2024, we had a gross margin growth, that is, revenues minus costs, of around 32% and only 16% increase in our expenses. Now I would like to give the floor to Marcelo Habibe, who's going to show you more details about the quarter's highlights. Thank you, Lino. Good morning, everyone. Now moving to slide number five, I would like to show the evolution of our EBITDA, as Lino highlighted. This quarter, we reached a level of 1,528 million BRL in EBITDA, a 40% growth compared to Q1 24. With an annualized growth rate of almost 50% since Q1 22. As mentioned before, we had important milestones in the quarter, which demonstrates the evolution of our business plan and the increased run rate of our EBITDA. We started Parnaíba 6 operation, whose contract brings to the company even more long-term fixed revenue indexed to the inflation. At the end of February, we also completed the operational ramp-up of the Parnaíba liquefaction plant, which is going to go live fully contracted and generating positive results for the company. In addition, we had the first expressive results of our gas business, which, after the completion of connection to Sergipe Hub, was able to capture opportunities in both the gas market and network in terms of LNG operations. Finally, we had the full contribution of the assets purchased last year in our EBITDA. Despite our record performance, the quarter still does not reflect the full potential of our businesses. In addition to the phase ramp-up in SS LNG and Parnaíba 6 operations and the costs related to the startup of these assets, we had several other non-recurring expenses, which impacted our bottom line by almost 100 million BRL, as highlighted in the slide. In addition, it's important to remember that in the first quarter, we practically had no dispatch. We will continue our trajectory of implementing our business plan. We have projects with contracted revenues already under implementation, such as Azulão 950, projects that we have already made investments decisions and started hiring suppliers, such as the construction of the third train for the Parnaíba liquefaction plant, and projects to capture future opportunities with the strength of the company's business model and our value proposition to provide competitive and reliable capacity and energy for the system. Now I would like to give the floor to Marcelo Lopes, who's going to talk about our performance in gas and energy businesses. Thank you, Habibe. Now moving to slide six, we would like to highlight the first relevant results in the gas and LNG trading segments. So first, on the gas front, in less than 6 months after the launch of our gas business, we have reached an EBITDA of 163 million BRL, which reflects both the result of bilateral contracts for the sale of firm and flexible gas to the transportation network of Brazil, which added around 37 million EBITDA to the first quarter, as well as the favorable context of commodity prices, which allowed us to capture results and market opportunities, which added 135 million to our EBITDA. These effects were slightly offset by retroactive costs booked in this quarter from previous quarters, totaling 10 million BRL. Our business will remain active and attentive to market opportunities to capture new opportunities for value creation, both in the natural gas and LNG markets. In the off-grid gas segment, the first quarter of 2025 marked the startup of our liquefaction plant in a phased manner, stabilizing production in the second half of the quarter. As a result, the segment reached 55 million BRL, EBITDA still impacted by a quarter with partial results, but reaching monthly EBITDAs closer to the recurring ones in February and March. Also, in the first quarter, we announced the investment decision on the construction of the third train of our liquefaction plant, which will expand the total capacity of the plant in Parnaíba from 600 to 900,000 cubic meters per day. The investment decision is an important milestone in the expansion of off-grid gas trading, a business model that presents one of the best ways to monetize our gas, with the possibility of expansion through phased caps, guaranteed sale of volumes in contracts with take or pay, attractive margins than the electric industry. In addition, the company is a pioneer in this market, creating alternatives competing mainly with polluting fuel sources.
Now I give the floor to Habib, who will go into financial performance. Thank you, Marcelo. Now slide number 8 represent the main impacts on EBITDA. As highlighted, EBITDA for the quarter reached a record 1.528 billion. This result reflects the materialization of new avenues of growth with the entry into operation of assets, consolidation of acquisition, and expansion of gas sales. We began the full counting of the results of the assets acquired in the fourth quarter, which added 440 million to the company's EBITDA. Sergipe Hub also made a relevant contribution with growth of 142 million, driven by the strong contribution of the gas business. This result was partially offset by the accounting of retroactive variable costs in the period, mainly linked to the reaccounting of energy delivered by CCEE and gas transportation costs. In off-grid commercialization, the phased start of commercial operations throughout the quarter contributed with 56 million in EBITDA. The positive dynamics of the period was partially offset by lower results in some of the company segments. The main ones were Parnaíba Complex and upstream due to lower thermal dispatch, holding due to non-recurring expenses related to growth projects, and consulting integration fees for acquired assets. Finally, in the solar segment, impacted by curtailment and price gaps between the Northeast and Southeast submarkets. It's important to emphasize that of this 1.5 billion gross in EBITDA in the first quarter, 1.4 billion came from the company's fixed EBITDA. That is, it does not depend on any exogenous factor. We generated another 200 million from the commercial margin of gas and energy, and we had 100 million in non-recurring costs, which should not be repeated. This is the beauty of Eneva's diverse portfolio. Diversification reduces risks. We had assets performing worse, as it was the case of solar and even thermal plants with less dispatch. However, other businesses performing better, thus increasing the total result. This is how we should view Eneva from now on, a guaranteed strong result with risk mitigated by the portfolio and with the possibility of surprising with the differentiated value levers that we have in gas and energy as well. Now, slide 9, I present the main impacts in the financial result, comparing quarters. The net financial result was negative 253 million in the first quarter, representing 454 million better than the negative result of 707 million in the same period, 2024. The improvement in the result was mainly explained by the exchange variation, positive effect of 412 million in the variation between quarters, and the impact of mark-to-market of swaps, mainly from the anticipation of receivables from UTE Port Sergipe One, which was concluded in the third quarter of 2024 as part of the liability management process, with an impact of 67 million on the variation between the periods. Slide 10, I'll be talking about variation changes in cash flow for the first quarter. Operating cash flow generated 1.18 billion in the quarter, driven by EBITDA and partially offset by the need of working capital and taxes paid in the period. Cash flow from investments recorded a total cash outflow of 916 million, mainly directed to Azulão 950 project, upstream activities, and other growth projects of the company. Financing cash flow recorded a total inflow of 798 million, driven mainly by the fundraising carried out in the period. In addition to the amounts paid in amortization, interest, and leasing, we had in this quarter the disbursement of 222 million with the share buyback program. As a result, Eneva generated cash of 900 million, achieving a solid cash position of 4,766 million. Now, slide 11, I'll be talking about the profile of our debt. On the left, you see that net debt closed the first quarter in 14.4 billion BRL, 3 billion less than the level recorded in the first quarter of 2024. As a result of the reduction in net debt and the higher EBITDA in the period, we had a 1.6-time drop in the net debt-EBITDA ratio, which reached 2.6 times at the end of the quarter. Disregarding the one-off impact of the co-impairment, the company's leverage would be 2.3 times. The other graphs on the slide, we highlight the quality of debt that closed the first quarter in 5.9 years, an increase of 0.9 years compared to the same period last year, and with lower average costs driven by the reduction in the cost of debt indexed by CDI. These improvements reflect the ongoing liability management process carried out by the company, as well as raising of new debt and disbursement of financial under attractive conditions. It's worth mentioning that currently 79% of our debt is linked to the IPCA, ensuring alignment between our obligations and the main index of our revenues. Similarly, the balance of our debts linked to CDI is compatible with our cash balance, also creating a hedge between the company's obligations and rights. With that, I now give the floor to Andrea Monte, who will detail Eneva's investments and capital projects. Thank you. Good morning, everybody. Slide 13, I highlight the investments made in the quarter, totaling 861 million BRL, mainly allocated to the company's main projects and to upstream development, which represented approximately 77% of the total investment. In Azulão 950 complex in Amazonas, a total of 529 million was invested in the quarter, with highlights for 350 million BRL allocated to construction and assembly services at the UTE, UTG substation, transmission, and connection line. 47 million BRL for contractual milestones with equipment suppliers such as transformers and cooling towers. 40 million for contracts related to the arrival of the generator and costs related to logistics and commissioning. And 28 million allocated to cluster and gas pipelines. In sustaining activities in the development of projects in holding, investments totaled 199 million in the period. Lastly, upstream investments totaled 78 million in this Q, with highlights for 58 million allocated to drilling campaign 2025, which includes costs for the arrival of the new drill, well drilling, and profiling in Maranhão. 24 million allocated to technical engineering teams, and 15 million invested in the development of Gavião Mateiro field. Now, going to slide 15, I present the updates of Azulão 950 project. At the end of the first Q, the physical progress of the project was 56%. I would like to emphasize the completion of the lifting of the molders and the boiling drum, the positioning of the slug catcher at the base of the unit, and the auxiliary transformer. In addition, we began to cold commissioning of the primary treatment unit, and we finished assembling the panels of the protection system, control and supervision of the substation, and we finalized the transmission line. And also, we started transportation of the first structural modules of pipelines. The project falls with according to the program, and commissioning Azulão 1 is expected to the second quarter of 2026. Azulão 2 is estimated to be completed in the first quarter of 2027. As the next milestones, I would like to highlight the energization of the plants and commissioning of UTG. We expect to conclude that by the end of 2025. Now I give the floor to Felipe Valverde for Q&A.
Thank you, Andrea. Good morning, everyone. Now let's start our Q&A session. Questions must be sent in written through our Zoom platform. The first question comes from Guilherme Lima from Santander. We noted that there has been an expansion of the net debt in the quarter of 6.8% despite a solid EBITDA. Could you comment the main lines that justify the cash flow of the operations? Oh, yes, of course. Good morning, Andre. Thank you for your question. I think that we have two explanations to simplify. So, number one, when we look the strong EBITDA generation, 1.5 billion, but part of this EBITDA has not yet materialized itself in cash and working capital because of the natural flow of receipts. So they go to receivables and then they turn into cash. What has effectively turned into cash of the 1.5 billion is 1 billion working capital took one part, income tax the another. Of the 1 billion, we invested 916 million. We bought back the shares, paid 100 million in terms of lease. So the effective cash generation as a result of the EBITDA was practically null or even negative, which would not lead to a reduction in the net debt, at least not specifically once cash is materializing working capital. Yes. There's a second factor you need to remember that almost 80% of our debt from debentures and fostering banks is IPCA plus spread, which is about 5.2% today, as you saw in one of the slides. So, this debt we pay spread, but IPCA corrects the balance. So, when there is no amortization, that debt naturally grows just because of its correction by the IPCA. So the debt grows and the net debt accompanies. So it's IPCA without major amortizations in the quarter plus cash generation that will become more positive in future months considering the working capital. The second part in Guilherme's question is about the purchase of the acquisition of Ceiba and Pecém. Could you comment the strategy for the projects that were acquired by from Ceiba Group in Pecém? Are you going to anchor FSRU? Well, the acquisition of the project provided many options to the company, and as we're going, how we're going to use this project in the portfolio of alternatives that we have is part of a strategy that unfortunately we cannot disclose. We are not sharing with you. But definitely, this is another option that we will have in the future for Eneva to grow. Thank you very much, Marcelo. So, the next two questions that we received come from Daniel from Safra. The first one, could you comment the result of the gas trading desk in Sergipe Hub? What is the space to expand the results of that arm? How can you expand the margins of that segment? Thank you, Daniel, for your question. So we started the operation in the second half of last year after the hub was connected, and we saw, especially after the correction of the program of rising in the beginning of 2025, we saw many opportunities in the short-term market, which combined to flexible contracts and some other firm contracts. This helped us have a movement that was quite interesting and interesting amount of operations. Which is the justification of most of the businesses of the trading of gas in the network. We believe that this trend is likely to be perennial, to continue. The market is seeking alternatives for liquidity. We are well positioned to be one of the main alternatives of liquidity in the Brazilian market, and the idea is to continue enjoying our position to capture opportunities. This thing of being able to increase margins or not is very much related to the context, prices, indexers, and more long-term contracts that are related to the short-term, the prices in the short-term market. So whether we are going to do that, repeat or not, this will depend very much on the scenario. But the trend or the likelihood is for us to keep on increasingly more intense levels to capture more value, and this is likely to continue. The second part of Daniel's question is about the capacity reserve auction. When do you expect news about the capacity reserve auction? Well, good question. Well, we hope it's as fast as possible, as because of the need that the system has to be able to count with dispatchable power, to deliver energy for 2028. It's already very challenging, so the sooner the better. And it's important that the public hearing is open again so that we have the auction still in 2025. But we haven't heard anything, as no one has. Daniel, this is Lino, just complementing what Marcelo said. The company believes in a structural need in voltage. So we know that there will be gaps in 26, 27, and 20 and 29, need to add voltage to the system. So you need to observe the what the ONS says and the Ministry of Energy. So we believe that there is a structural need. This will happen, and when it happens, the company will be very well prepared to make the most of the opportunities that arise. Thank you so much, Marcelo. The next two questions come from João Pimentel from Citi. Good morning, everyone. We saw a very strong contribution in this quarter coming from the on-grid gas, but almost 83% of these results come from one-off operations in LNG. How can we think about this result in a recurring way going forward? Thank you so much for the question. We cannot think that this is a recurring result. We said that those are context-specific operations. They were one-off, and we will always be paying attention for any opportunities that arise so that we can make the most of them. But we cannot give you any guidance in terms of the recurrence of these operations. Thank you. Second part of João's question. As to the expansion of capacity to 900,000 cubic meters a day, how are the negotiations for this amount evolving? Can we expect any price levels? João, the negotiations for the sale of this additional volume are very much related to the ongoing negotiations for the sale of gas to meet the segment of transportation. There is a commitment to scale our offer to that segment as new players open adhere to this initiative, converting their fleets from diesel to gas. And the price benchmark that we are practicing is similar to the prices that are practiced in small scale, and they have even better margins than the gas that is sold to the electric industry. So we are likely to expand this operation with this type of feature. Thank you very much, Marcelo. Our next question comes from the decision of CMSC from last night. So last night, CMSC decided to advance the contracts of LRCAP for 2021. Do you see any opportunity with that regard? The company will have interesting benefits with this decision. We have projects that are winning, projects like Parnaíba 4, of Eneva, Linhares, Liana, and Geramar. They are recently acquired assets, and all these assets we had already started with the advance with this offer of the opportunity of advancing it, and this will come true, and this is going to contribute to the company's results in the second quarter.
Just in figures, with these three contracts, we will have a total of 35 million BRL on fixed revenue a month. That's the financial impact. Thank you. Thank you, Habib. Thank you. A question about the trading business. How is it going to go in the next quarters, considering PLD launching in the submarkets? Was there a change in strategy? Thank you for the question. One of the main processes of activity that trading has is to look towards trends and market conditions. So this detachment between markets, price variations, as mentioned, that's part of the process of taking a stance. We do not believe in much variation regarding results, since our positioning between what we buy, what we sell, what kind of market, how, so that we can maximize results looking at those scenarios. Nothing very relevant to emphasize here. One last question regarding Sergipe Hub. You had in the first quarter 2024 about 100 million of cash of use in Sergipe. How have you been talking with insurers to have reimbursement of this value? Well, we can say that the stocks are positive. The reports that came after the consultation were quite positive for the company. And we have to take this forward. There is a discussion that we'll have throughout these coming quarters. However, it's going to be very quite positive for the company. Thank you, Habib. With this last question, we then close Q&A. Thank you all. Have a good day. We'll see you next quarter.